about.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and gravy. I thought it was eggs and bakey.
Bakey? What the hell is bakey?
Like bacon? What the hell is eggs and gravy, huh?
Stop, man, shut the hell up when I'm grilling you. This ain't no goddamn cooking show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Friends, there is a new form of music, if you can call it music, that is as unchristian and un-American as anything we have had to face in the past 50 years. Now this music, this jungle rhythm, this abandonment that seems so popular with some of our children is a threat to our morals. Yea, I say that it is, in fact, a threat to our very society.
And now...
It always made me have to go poop.
Our feature presentation.
Well, good luck with that, Allie.
Thank you.
Hey, party people. What's up?
Hey, Bean.
A lot of excitement there. A lot of excitement with saying hi to Bean this morning.
I mean, take it how you will.
I mean, it's what's warranted.
Yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Tuesday... The 14th of March. Do you ever think right before that light goes on and we bring up our microphones...
That I still have time to go home? Yes.
How dare you, Chip? Right before we get ready to start a show, do you ever think how surprising and unlikely it is that we were invited back again today?
Sure.
Sure.
You really think
that every day?
Not every day, but occasionally.
Okay.
For whatever reason, today I thought, wow, they heard yesterday's show and they had us back today? You know, it's a little bit of a surprise.
It was that hard-hitting Getzloff interview.
Well,
he
didn't strain to get on the phone with us yesterday. That is true. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, if I could put a positive spin on it, we're very lucky to be here and have access to the mighty K-Rock microphones. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, what I heard when you said it.
I don't take that for granted, and it's not going to last forever. In fact, it may not last much longer at all. But while we're here, let's just do the best we can.
It's like he just wants people to be like, what's happening, you guys? Oh, my God, musica, musica, musica. And then you'll complain that all these people are tweeting it at you.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any of that.
Yes, you are.
You're implying
it. And then you let people's brains start going in overtime, and then it's ridiculous.
I'm in no way doing anything like that. I literally am coming on saying that I appreciate this opportunity.
Do that less.
Appreciate less.
Good Lord.
Now I don't appreciate it at all. Now I wish I didn't have this job. Please fire me. All right. Well, so that's a rough start. And that's all I'll be thinking about tomorrow when we come on.
Oh, for the love of God.
But let me start with this story before we get into our very busy and frankly, potentially excellent Kevin and Bean show today. Allie, there's a word that I've heard you use and comment on in the news in recent weeks, and it seems to be popping up more and more often in more and more situations, and that word is triggering. Triggering, how would you describe, folks who maybe haven't heard the term, what triggering is all about?
It's a story or something like that triggers an emotional response. For a lot of people, it could be a story about sexual assault or rape, and it brings up memories or emotions that you weren't quite ready to deal with when you read that story.
Good. That's good. Yeah. And a lot of times it's happening now in politics, you know, both sides, the conservatives and the liberals are both shouting that the other person is triggered by something that they freak out about.
Yeah. It's become a joke term for the right to say about anything, saying, oh, is this triggering you? Oh, are you triggered, you snowflake? That's kind of what it's become.
Well, there's some triggering in the news in Canada. This is in near Ottawa, I think, I want to say. It's Carleton University. And here's what the article says. They are feeling the burn from students on social media for removing a weight scale from its gym to promote a more holistic approach to a healthy body image. There are some who say that scales are very triggering for people with eating disorders. So they're not having a scale in the gym. The recent move is not sitting well with several students who are accusing the school of kowtowing to a small group of gym users who are easily offended. Next, it will be the mirrors, wrote one Carleton student on Facebook, while another said, are you for real? What a sick joke. Before you know it, now the hashtag, by the way, is hashtag bring back the scale in Carleton right now. So apparently the people who work there at the gym said that they removed it in keeping with current fitness and social trends. Although it can be used as a tool to help measure certain aspects of fitness, it does not provide a good overall indication of health. And we have chosen to move away from focusing solely on body weight. Now, just because you step on a scale doesn't mean you're not paying attention to other aspects of your health. That's just it's just one fact, right, that you put in your arsenal and how your body's doing.
And somebody that has issues with bulimia or anorexia, they have a scale at home and they're weighing themselves every 20 minutes anyway. That scale at the gym for everyone to work out and then go on is not going to make a difference.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I do know, and I have heard from, you know, for a long time, people saying that the, you know, you can't, what it says on the scale is not an indication sometimes of how healthy you are. It may be one indicator of how healthy you are. And a lot of times, don't you, if you are working out, don't you gain weight because you're replacing fat with muscle, which weighs more?
Yeah.
So, and I think people know that if they're paying attention to what they're doing in the gym,
that,
right?
But we're so busy coddling this next generation, and I don't understand when it stops, because we're raising this nation of just wussified people that can't take anything. Then they go out in the real world, and they can't figure out why it's not like that for them. And it screws with them so much more that stop, just stop it, people, especially on the college level. Everything is offensive to a college student.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Aaron Benz, a communication and media studies student at Carleton, says that he is frustrated by the university's decision, which he argues is the next escalation of trigger culture. We stand up for free speech and defend the books that offend certain people because of their merits. They simply can choose not to read them. This is the same thing. Those who are offended by the scale can simply choose to not use the scale, which seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah.
By the way, the scale doesn't have – not everybody is forced to get on the scale. It's there for people who want it if they want to use it as a way to help track part of their overall fitness health.
Right.
So – our message today, then, for Carleton University is stop it.
Stop it.
Don't go to college.
Don't go to college. Yes, I'm all for raising an empathetic group of the next generation, but at some point, reality is going to smack them in the face, and that empathy is going to go by the wayside.
I hope you're right. I hope there is a point at which reality does smack them in the face, and they don't continue through their same life being sheltered by everything that might be offensive all the time, always. All right, so there you go. That's an update from Canada. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
Let's rap, kids.
What's Alex?
All right, Alex, I guess we'll do that. Very exciting news. If you were in the percentage of people who were delighted when you got the news that the San Diego Chargers were moving to Los Angeles, because we've got two of the big wigs in the Chargers organization. John and AG are the presidents of football and business operations. And by the way, I think these guys are like 35 or something.
Yeah, they're way too young to have that kind of position.
They're running an NFL team.
Yeah.
So how's that going? We'll talk to John and AG coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin Amin Show. Last night was a very dramatic finale to this season of The Bachelor. Is Nick engaged? Did he pick Vanessa or Raven? We'll find out with Ralph and Petras coming up just after 8 o'clock on the show today. As you know, we are heading into the NCAA college basketball tournament. And, Allie, if I recall correctly, you have no interest in college basketball, right?
I have actually a little bit less than that.
Less than zero.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know one man who is so invested in this tournament this year that he is putting his house up for grabs if you can pick a perfect bracket challenge. And that's our friend Cousin Sal. We'll talk to him on the program today and find out how he thinks, well, among other schools, how he thinks UCLA will do as they head into the tournament. A lot of people are very excited about them this year. Let me see. What's up with Florida on the program today? We're going to give away some more tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, fast approaching April 1 at the Shrine. Tickets on sale now, by the way, through access.com. You can win some this morning here on the Kevin Amin Show. And it's been a long time. I think Christine in the office did the math yesterday and came up with 4 years since the last Kevin and Bean singles party.
Oh, my.
We got one, and it's in Las Vegas, you guys.
Nevada?
That's the one. And we'll tell you all about it and give away tickets coming up on this morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show 2. Plus, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat. That's next on K-Rock.
Hey, down we go.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
A little Kaleo.
I like it. Yep. Hey, 5:51. It's Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I mentioned that we are going to be giving away some more tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. I also should mention the opening act contest is open. Yesterday, mm-hmm. we made the announcement that we are looking for you. If you're funny, 18 and up, you can go to krock.com and submit your YouTube video. Maybe you can be on that stage at the Shrine on April 1st, and you'll be able to say, hey, I opened for Bill Burr. So if you're a funny person, head on over to krock.com and check it out. How are you, Ralph Garman?
Ah, could not be better.
What's going on, man? How was your 3 hours of The Bachelor last night?
Just rolled around in it, splashed it all over my nude body. Oh, it was amazing. It was awesome. And then the most historic thing ever happened at the end.
Now, Harrison teased us on the show yesterday if that was going to happen. What was it?
I can't tell you now.
Come on.
Come on back for the Bachelor Update Recap show. That we do. I think that's what it's called, isn't it?
Sure.
I think it is the Bachelor Update Recap show.
Just a hint, little hint. What happened? Little tiny.
It involved Rachel, the bachelorette.
Oh.
Changed her mind and decided it was a BS show and she wasn't going to do it?
You son of a bitch.
Would that be awesome on live TV?
How dare you say that to me? You know, you... Ugh.
I'm not here for the right reasons,
no,
Ralph.
No, you're not.
All right, 8:05 then. You and Petros will break it down for us. In the meantime, what's going on in the world of showbiz?
Speaking of reality television, it's back. Fear is not a factor for you, my friend. On Fear Factor.
Wait, do we need that back?
It was a pretty good show.
Joe Rogan,
pretty
right?
Pretty entertaining. Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it was great.
Initially was the host of that show. No word on who will be the host of the rebooted version, but I do know they're looking for people who, for fear, is not a factor for them.
No, thank you.
Come on, Allie.
Sheep eyeballs.
Eating bugs and then
some horse ass.
There's like random rats all over you. And
eat some horse rectum while a rat crawls in your hoo-ha.
Wow. Sign me up. I didn't know that was up.
It does sound fun.
They're looking for adventurous, competitive teams of two to face their fears and compete for up to $50,000. Casting people are apparently looking for teams of best friends, couples, siblings, co-workers, exes, roommates, who are between the ages of 18 and 26 and live in Southern California. So if you think you have what it takes to conquer fear and to eat horse rectum.
Probably helps if you're super hot, too.
Yeah,
they don't not like that on that show. If I remember correctly, they don't turn away really attractive people. Anyway, if you're interested, you can go to www.fearfactor.tv and you can apply there to become a contestant on Fear Factor.
Can you imagine how horrific it would be if they let a contestant on that show who was older than 26?
Oh,
Who wants to see that? Those people should stay in their houses.
Right? And get that scale out of there, too.
Right?
They're on the Fear Factor set. I'm afeard of scales. Sorry, ladies. But Johnny Manziel's off the market. Yeah.
Nice.
He's a taken man. Seemed like quite the catch.
Someone is going to marry him?
Can you imagine?
No!
Apparently there's a woman named Bree Tiesi. I'm guessing she's a model?
Oh, my God.
He proposed to her in Paris last Friday, and the very lucky lady said yes.
Who paid to send him to Paris?
This is what I'm saying. How does this guy do anything? What is he? How does he have money? What is his job?
He's got no job.
Apparently, the duo spent the weekend in Italy, then returned to Paris to attend a Drake concert. They've been dating for 3 long months, so you can see why they got engaged. But, you missed out on a chance to be married to Johnny Manziel. I'm sure that's going to go well, too.
Mm-hmm.
He
seems
stable and reasonable and responsible.
I don't see him getting arrested for drunkenness anytime soon at all.
No. He's got a great work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feel the least bit entitled. So those are all good things.
Where does the money come from, Ralph? You can only sell your Heisman Trophy once.
Oh, he's a trust fund baby.
Is he?
His family has money?
Oh, my God. The Manziels?
Don't say the Manziels. Oh, the Manziels of Connecticut? Like I'm in the social registry? I don't know who the Manziels are.
I think it's taxes.
Who are the Manziels? Of what? What do they do?
That oil.
Now you're just
now I'm just saying stuff.
Right.
But
you
yeah, no.
Oh, the Manziels. You can't throw the Manziels out there without knowing what they do.
He's a trust fund baby. I
okay.
know that.
What? Well, trust me in saying you don't know what the trust fund
you
is.
Shut your face. All please right. hold on me.
I'm worried about Kevin. I'll move on while you do some
oh,
research.
No.
I'm worried about Kevin. You know he's on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about what he might be doing while he's on vacation. Because this story broke this morning.
His family became wealthy through the Texas petroleum industry.
Oil. Okay.
Suck it!
So he is an oil family. All right, there you go. I'm worried about Kevin because of this story. A man is facing prison time after robbing the same 7-Eleven multiple times.
Oh, no.
Now, keep in mind, he did not come in demanding cash. He would walk into the 7-Eleven, whip out a knife, and demand?
No.
Anybody?
Candy.
Candy. Yes.
He did, like our boy.
He did the same thing 3 times in 4 days.
No.
Nice work, Kevin.
Same store.
Kevin.
Cops finally captured him when he entered the store one last time and decided to forego threatening the manager, just walked into the back room and started grabbing candy and walked out.
Oh, he loves candy.
The manager followed him down the street and was able to identify the man to police.
This was a success.
So apparently he is now under arrest. We haven't heard from Kevin, I'm just mm-mm. saying.
It does sound like his M.O.
The man was arrested outside a police station. That's where they got him. This guy does everything wrong. If convicted, apparently he faces 7 to 11 years in prison.
Stop.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that was so good.
See, because it was a 7-Eleven. Hey, Ralph, listen.
What?
I generally don't like to discuss coworkers when
oh,
they're,
my
not,
God.
They're not here. But I have to ask, because you brought up Kevin going into the 7-Eleven.
Well, someone has to keep his memory alive.
Remember last week when you came in and you needed a dollar for the soda machine or something, and
yes.
Kevin reached into his pocket, and
yes.
he pulled out, I swear to God, like 150 singles.
And it wasn't Remember? Even all singles, by the way.
No, it was a ton
There was
of
a ton of 20s in there.
Yeah.
And some hundreds, mm-hmm. and it was... You couldn't hold all the money in both your hands.
He's on the run for something.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Don't you live in a world like I do in the 21st century where if you have $20 on you, that's a lot of money?
It's a big deal.
You
yeah.
never spend cash for anything anymore.
I try
right?
to keep about 20 to 40 bucks in various denominations in my
for
wallet.
For tips and
for
ballet
stuff.
And stuff
right.
like that. That makes sense, yeah.
But I've never seen, it looked like he knocked over an Indian casino.
Yes.
It's just, he just stuffed his pockets with so much cash. That I'd never seen the like of it before.
I just can't figure out what you would need that many bills for.
Making it rain. That's what you need for.
So. Oh.
Yeah. And all that 7-Eleven candy that he stole. He probably sold some of it. Anyway. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow, what a batch. What an interesting batch of people blowing out candles this morning. Quincy Jones. Q, as he's known to his pals.
Legend.
84 years old today. Also 84 is Michael Caine. Michael Caine, also 84 years old today. He's pretty good for 84. He looks pretty good. Billy Crystal's 60. Hold on. Time out. Flag on the play.
Uh-huh.
You would an 84-year-old man.
Michael Caine?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's still an 84-year-old
Super
man.
Super sexy, though.
Oh,
Michael Caine.
Sweet
yeah.
Lord. The daddy issues just keep piling up
nope.
over on this side.
Not a one.
Oh, there's tons. They're given your track record with the elderly. I would have to say it's a weird attraction you have for the octogenarians.
He'd be like my grandpa's age. He's older than, much older than my dad.
Well, I'm just saying, it progresses. It's a progressive disease.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Billy Crystal's 69. You want to give Billy a throw?
You know what I'm saying?
Chris Klein's 38, way too young for Allie. Mm-hmm. Jamie Bell's 31. Sasha Gray, adult film star turned legit actress, 29 years old today. Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. Dave writes here, the stupid Golden State Warriors. 29 years old today. And Simone Biles over there on Dancing with the Stars. She's a USA gymnast. She's 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 4 long years, it's time to announce the next Kevin Bean singles party.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Allie, you've been on the show for a long time, yet you've never been here for a singles party.
I have not, and I'm excited. I don't know what goes down at them. I've heard some rumors. I don't believe them to be true, but I'm game.
We all sign a non-disclosure agreement, so really nothing ever gets out of that room because it's – well, they'd close the whole strip down if they found out what was going on when we were in Las Vegas.
A lot of butt stuff.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh. Okay.
But it has been a while. We are announcing Kevin Abeen's Marchica Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party.
I'm sorry?
Yes, that's correct.
One more time.
Marchica Bow Wow. It's a week from Friday night, you guys. I mean, it's fast approaching. We're talking about a two-night hotel stay at the Link Hotel, round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Party Bus. If you are 21 and up, we are going to be looking for you later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can get the details at krock.com, but we start giving away tickets today, and the party is a week from Friday night. So it's all happening, you guys, courtesy of Chips, the buddy cop comedy starring Dax Shepard and Michael Pena on March 24th. It opens everywhere. So keep listening for your chance to win those tickets here on K-Rock. Yesterday at noon, through Axis.com, tickets went on sale for the 9th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Concert. We're going to be back at the Shrine Auditorium coming up on April the 1st. What a great lineup this is with Bill Burr, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, Angela Johnson, and whoever the opening act is for that night. Proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. I want to thank everybody that made the effort to buy tickets yesterday when they first went on sale. That was very nice. Still some available if you want to go. Axis.com, buy your tickets. Allie, you ready to give some away?
I am.
Now, are you you remember the punchlines, right?
Yes, they call with the punchline, and whoever has the best punchline that makes us laugh will go in the drawing?
That's correct. Yes. Well, no, we'll pick the best
one. We're going to pick the best one.
We'll pick the best punchline, and you will win the tickets to April Foolishness. So we don't want to hear the joke on the air. We just want to hear the punchline. Whatever punchline intrigues us the most, that's the one who will win tickets for April Foolishness. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Here's an example. I hate jokes, and I'm terrible at jokes, but let me tell you one I heard over the weekend, Ellie. You tell me if this would have been a good one to call in with. The punchline is, I'm not Willie Nelson. I'm not Willie Nelson. Now, is that the kind of punchline that you hear and are intrigued enough to want to hear the joke?
Sure. Let's hear what the joke was.
You can say that. No, I don't want to. I didn't like your attitude.
Let's hear the joke, Bean.
I'm not going to tell the joke.
Bean.
I wasn't. No.
I will turn this show around.
I'll tell the joke when we come back when we take the other punchlines. How about that? But the punchline is, I'm not Willie Nelson. If you've got one, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. First, though, hit it, Steve.
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Been following news from America's penis, Florida, for many, many years, and I gotta tell you, I think 2017 is a banner year. I feel like there's been more great stuff coming out of Florida than I can remember in a long time. And I love this man. His name is Daniel Jones from Key West. He was arrested on a golf cart the other day while trying to run over a rooster.
Oh.
Now, I know that doesn't sound like it can possibly be real, but it was. He had a blood alcohol content level of 0.25, more than three times the legal limit when he was arrested. He was driving a golf cart erratically around 6:15 p.m. in the Bahama Village neighborhood of Key West. He was driving erratically and swerving in the direction of the rooster, according to a witness. He was adamant about trying to hit the rooster, said Vincent Vero of Key West, who called 911. He ended up rolling the cart over along with two passengers, was ejected from the cart. The rooster, by the way, Allie, hopped onto the sidewalk, avoided injury, was completely fine.
Good.
A woman in the golf cart, which was also carried another man, got the worst of it with chipped teeth and skinned knees. Mr. Jones fell asleep in the patrol car on the way to jail and was jailed on suspicion of driving under the influence and DUI with property damage and minor injury. He registered a 0.25 level after he continuously put his fingers and his shirt into his mouth instead of the breathalyzer. That's how you know you're too drunk, when you can't follow instructions on using a breathalyzer.
Right, not good.
He was released from jail on his own recognizance. Again, I'm happy to say that the rooster was fine. I don't know about you, but when I went to high school, people used to try to figure out a way to get out of tests that didn't involve calling in a bomb threat to the school.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to pull the fire alarm, you know, to make the school evacuate so you get out of taking that science test. This 18-year-old, Grayson Alexander Berry from Naples, Florida, called in a fake bomb threat. And here's what I don't understand. I always think that the kids today, with their technology, are so sophisticated now. He called from his own cell phone.
Oh.
Like, how long do you think you're going to get away with calling in a bomb threat if you use your actual cell phone to make the call?
Rookie move.
I think so, too. You could have done so much better, Allie. The school, it did work, by the way. This Naples High School was evacuated, so classes were canceled. So he did have to take the test, but it's not much of a consolation if you end up in jail as a result of it. He was confronted by detectives, and he did admit that, yeah, it was him. He was held on $10,000 bail, and we'll see what happens with him. All right. I was thinking about this story because Ralph's adorable little daughter, Olivia, was in the station a couple weeks ago selling her Girl Scout cookies. And I'm glad that that's the way it went down instead of the way it happened in Palm Coast. A $20 debt led to chaos at a cookie stand outside a Palm Coast Walmart when two teens attacked the family of a Girl Scout that they said owed them money. So these guys, 18 and 16-year-old, they go up and they say, hey, somebody in your family owes us $20. Mm-mm. And the people on the other side of the desk said, well, we don't have $20. So the boys demanded to be paid in cookies instead.
Wow.
They began snatching boxes of cookies, overturning the table, and destroying the cookie stand. How horrifying is that for the poor, cute little Girl Scouts who were just standing there trying to move some Samoas?
That's pretty hateful.
Tons of injuries, by the way. Sprained necks and shoulders and people getting punched in the head. Somebody tried to run somebody over with a car. It just turned into a melee. That's the most Florida story, by the way.
It really
there's
is.
A melee in a Walmart parking lot over a Girl Scout cookie table. I don't know what's going on down there. Here's a story that sounds too good to be true. Stephen Gutierrez is a Florida defense attorney. He is in court, and he is defending a client who has been accused of arson, of setting his own car on fire. Which, by the way, I feel like you ought to be able to set your own car on fire.
Yeah, it's your car.
I would think so, too. But
your property.
No details on why they charged him with that. Maybe it was in an area where it caught something else on fire or something. I don't know. So he, listen to this, and you tell me if this is suspicious or not. So this attorney is arguing that the man's car was not set on fire by his client, but that it spontaneously combusted. While he's doing that in court, while he's making that defense, smoke starts coming out of his pants where he had several electric cigarette batteries that caught on fire. He was rushed out of the courtroom while smoke was billowing out of his pants pockets. He said as the heat intensified, he hurried into the bathroom where he tossed the batteries in water. He was able to return to the courtroom with a singed pocket. He claims, and he's an attorney, so he can't lie legally, right? Everything attorney says is true.
I don't think that's how it goes.
This was not staged, he says. No one thinks that a battery left in his pocket is going to explode. After careful research, I now know this can happen. I am not the only one that this has happened to, but I am in a position to shed light on the situation. I'm calling BS on this.
The whole thing is weird.
This was a trick, right?
It had to be.
I would think so, too. Florida State Attorney's Office spokesman says he can neither confirm or deny an investigation was ongoing into the incident, but no further arrests have been made. So the attorney says it was legit. I guess we'll wait and find out if that defense works for his client. And finally, this seems like just a regular run-of-the-mill drunk tank story, but the last sentence made it one of my favorite stories of the week. This is the cops come across a pickup truck flipped over on its roof in the ditch. Three drunk men are sitting beside it. One says, I don't remember that even happening. I'm so messed up. So he is arrested and sent to jail. The deputy saw bloodshot and watery eyes, smelled alcohol emitting from the man. The man stumbled several times. He was handcuffed. He was put in the back of the police patrol car. The man said he doesn't remember what happened. Here's where the story makes it wonderful. The man was taken to the hospital where he took a urine sample. It yielded 2 liters of fluid.
Oh.
I want you to picture 2 liters of pee.
That's a lot of pee, Bean.
No wonder this guy was drunk. Can you imagine walking around with, like, how did his bladder not explode?
Oh, my.
Who has 2 liters worth of room inside of him?
Florida guy.
I love this guy, and I love this state, and that's why we do What's Up with Florida.
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
LA and OC's alternative rock. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. By the way, next hour, it's going to be very fascinating to talk to the brains behind the new Los Angeles Chargers. John and A.G. Spanos are going to be in studio with us here on K-Rock, and we'll try to include your phone calls if you're going to be nice. Okay? Coming up. Speaking of phone calls, first, though, we want to give away some more tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness on sale now through Axis.com. The show is Saturday, April 1st at the Shrine. This game is called Punchline.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into April Foolishness.
So we don't want to hear the jokes. We only want to hear the punchline. All right, Allie, you ready? Mine was, I'm not Willie Nelson. The joke is, what's the last thing a woman wants to hear after she's just had sex with Willie Nelson?
Oh, I don't hate it.
All right. Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go through as many as we can. Andrew in Corona, up first. Line one here on the Kevin Beecher. Andrew, just the punchline, not the joke. What do you have for us?
Hey, Allie, how being? Okay, so the punchline is, it runs in your jeans.
Ooh, it runs in your jeans. All right, very intriguing. Hang on.
It runs in your jeans.
Let's go to Azusa. Up next, line two. This is going to be Steve. Hey, Steve, what's the punchline?
He was looking for poo.
All right, please hold. Ryan Irvine, you're next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Punchline, please.
What it do? What it do? My punchline is undercover wiener.
Ooh, undercover wiener.
Intriguing. Thank you. All right, Whittier next. This is going to be Tony. Tony, what say you?
You ready?
Yeah.
Africa, they're everywhere.
I like the sound effects that go with it, too. Africa, they're everywhere. All right. Thank you. Long Beach is Jessica. She's up next. Jessica, punchline, please.
My punchline is, I've never had a garbanzo bean on my face.
I am intrigued by that one as well. This is a good batch. Thank you, Jessica. Let's go to Jeremy, up next, line six. Hey, Jeremy, what's your punchline?
Oh, boy, that's cute, but can you really drink out of that thing?
Oh.
All right. Torrance, Aaron, you're next. Punchline, please.
Arr, it's driving me nuts.
How dare you? Don't ever come in here with that Pirate Day joke again. How dare you? All right, one more. Let's go to Whittier and Carlos O. Carlos, good morning. What's the punchline?
Not even essay.
All right.
Even essay.
All right, okay. Allie, we got to choose now. It runs in your jeans. He was looking for poo, which, by the way, I think may be my favorite at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Undercover wiener, Africa, they're everywhere. I've never had a garbanzo bean in my face. That's cute, but can you really drink out of that thing? It's driving me nuts. Or not even essay. What do you like?
I like all of them. But I want to know what he was looking for poo. I think that's what I want.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Steve. Steve.
Hey, what's good morning, guys.
What's the joke?
Why did Tigger stick his head in the toilet?
All right. I didn't like that one so much. Let's instead go to Jessica.
Well, hold on, Steve. Steve, we're going to give you tickets to Kevin Abed's April Foolishness. How about that? Saturday, April 1st at the Shrine, Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, whoever wins the opening act contest. And you will be there, Steve. So thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Allie, let's give away one more. Who else do you like?
I know Jessica's joke, and it's really good.
Jessica, line five.
No,
they're telling us no.
What? Let's give away more.
I don't think you can say it on the air.
Oh, we
maybe
can't say
that's
the joke.
Why, yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll deal with it. All right, thank you, Jessica. Thank you, everybody. More tickets. And by the way, if you still want to buy them, you can. Axis.com is where you go. Quick break. Coming back with more right after this on K-Rock.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
That's a note.
LA,
that's a note right there.
Oh,
that guy held a note.
Brother can sing, man.
Yeah.
That's true. My LA brother. And OC's alternative.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Here we go. Again.
Oh, brother can sing.
I didn't say he was
when
my brother.
Beating on the skins. He also can't sing, my brother.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
How
super bean.
Dare you. Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, that means your favorite break of the whole week, which is the conversation we have just after 8 a.m. with Ralph and Petros breaking down last night's Bachelor finale. Very excited. Looking forward to that. We'll talk all things L.A. Chargers with the men behind the team next hour as well. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Are they going to change the song?
Los Angeles,
Superchargers.
I mean, it's not as catchy.
No, it really isn't.
But...
LA, California, Superchargers.
Nope. Just adding more words.
Yeah.
Maybe get the Chili Peppers to record it for him. Maybe that's the way to go.
Mm.
My brother. Here's the thing about show business. You can make a lot of money.
True.
And then you can lose a lot of that money.
Okay,
I was stunned by this. You familiar with the pop rock duo Hall and Oates?
Sure.
Sure. Hall and Oates.
Most successful duo of all time.
John Oates was doing an interview with the New York Daily News, and he said one day in 1987, at the height of the Hall & Oates career, John was told by one of his accountants that he was broke. That's after selling 80 million albums.
Oh, my goodness.
A bunch of number one singles, touring the world for 20 years. It's all in his memoir. He's got an autobiography called Change of Seasons, which will
be out on
Friday.
Was he ripped off? Was it one of those deals?
Well, he blames his manager, Tommy Mottola, and his lawyer for his cash loss. But he said it's not that they stole anything, but they never gave him, like, a heads up.
But this didn't happen to Daryl?
Apparently not. John said at one point he had two apartments in Manhattan, a house in Connecticut, a condo in Aspen, a fleet of sports cars, a plane. But in 1987, all he had left was how much money in his wallet?
Oh, geez.
This is what he had. At the end of the at
this
the end, by the time
sad.
All his debts were paid off,
$127.
$50 in his wallet
in 1987.
Yes.
I would think that John Oates would be have a gold toilet at that point,
right?
Well, this is user error.
Yes, but I guess he was expecting someone to come along at some point and say, "You might want to pull back on the spending there, John Oates. Maybe just have the one luxury apartment in Manhattan."
Right.
Yeah.
No need for a plane.
And I
but
guess
apparently
a lot of
things got better. He's okay.
A lot of guys at that level, Ralph, they probably never see a bank statement.
No,
they don't
exactly.
write any checks. They just have people to handle all that, right?
And you think it's going to last forever, so you just spend.
Well, I don't feel bad about purchasing my ticket now to see them with Tears for Fears. I want to help you, John Oates.
Hmm.
Who's with me? That's a combo right there. It's a 1-2 punch. Hall and Oates, Tears for Fears, touring together. I just keep talking. I need a reaction.
Yeah, you got one. I think the silence was the reaction.
That's a great tour. All right.
Oh, that's right.
See, that shows us in.
Speaking of which, Hall & Oates are doing a Philadelphia festival, music festival, called the Hoagie Nation.
Oh, jeez.
The Hoagie Nation Festival.
You have to pronounce it like that?
Yeah, Hoagie Nation Festival. It's going to be May 27th
in
Philly.
I hate it so much.
Hall & Oates will be the headliners. Then you do have your Tears for Fears. They'll be there, too.
Really?
But also G-Love and the Special Sauce.
Okay. Oh.
And Vivian Green and Mara and Son and other Philadelphia musicians will be playing.
Philadelphia.
Hey!
I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Philadelphia.
Because, you know, Hall & Oates got their start in Philadelphia. So.
Is this a big festival, the Hoagie Festival?
It's their first one. It'll be the first time they're doing it.
Okay.
But if it's a success, and why wouldn't it be?
I think
they're going to keep doing it every
this
year.
This was a success.
Will they be selling water ice?
Water ice will be there. I'm sure it'll have hoagies. They'll have cheese steaks, everything you need. So enjoy your hoagie festival, everybody.
Y'all make fun of Massachusetts accents.
Yeah, we all do there, Scarlett O'Hara. y'all make fun.
I'm just saying.
Of my Bostonian roots with my southern accent.
What's
with you people? Got my brother and I got Scarlett O'Hara on the other side. Got both sides of the Civil War represented.
Can I add, Ralph?
I wish you wouldn't.
And I don't know how you feel about this. I know where Allie comes down, but Hall & Oates, their songs, I think, whereas many songs from the 80s I've got no time for anymore. I'm just burned out. They're just too dated. They don't sound good. Hall & Oates songs still sound good to me today. I think they hold up.
I can't go for that.
No can do?
No can do. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Why do some people tune out?
Excellent question, Jiminy. Simone Biles. She is a gymnast. She was on our Olympic team. Mm-hmm. Now she's dancing with the stars, 20 years old today.
I wonder if she's the shortest person who's ever been on that show. Although I think they did have a little person a couple years ago.
Great question, Bean. I think that's on top of mind on everyone.
She's just so tiny.
Every
she's
one
so,
of our listeners
she's so little.
Is wondering how she measures up.
She's a little pocket person.
Actor Ansel Elgort.
Oh,
Ansel Elgort.
Baby Driver.
He needs a better name, though, right?
Baby Driver.
Baby Driver, the new Edgar Wright film. The trailer's out this week, and it looks terrific. And he
Baby
seems,
Driver.
Yeah, okay, we said it. And he looks great in it, but...
That
name's got to go.
It's not a great name.
Ansel Elgort.
But I'm telling
Ansel
you.
Ansel Elgort.
No, it doesn't work.
Sounds like something on the world's hardest game. Sounds like something backwards. Ansel Elgort. sounds like that's a name that we're saying backwards. Ansel Elgort. He's 23 years old today.
Baby Driver.
Sasha Grey's 29. Jamie Bell is 31. Chris Klein's 38, Billy Crystal, 69, Michael Caine's 84, and Quincy Jones, also 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's how you want to wake up right there, with Tool, right?
Always.
LA and OC's alternative rock, if we are to believe the social media from the band Tool, they are currently in studio working on some new music. So 2017 could be the long-awaited year that we hear from them again. Hey, this morning on the show, we announced the next Kevin and Bean singles party. It's going to be a week from Friday night in Las Vegas. The night of March 24th, we got a two-night hotel stay for you at the Link Hotel, round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Party Bus. If you're 21 and up, you can go to krock.com for all the details, but we start giving away tickets for that next hour here on K-Rock. So that's very exciting to get back to a singles party in Las Vegas. All right. I don't know if you've been watching, Allie, but there have been multiple opportunities in the last 10 days since President Trump made the wiretapping charge about the former President Obama. And every time he gets in a situation where the press is there, and they've been canceling most press events, but every time the president is somewhere where there's a reporter, they ask him about the wiretapping. Hey, how are you doing on proof on the wiretapping thing?
Sure.
And he just stone face, just ignores him, just like no response whatsoever. So I'm a little bit nervous because the president has agreed to talk to us today, and we might find out a little something more about it, I'm hoping. It's always a thrill to welcome the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. President, thank you so much for talking to us. How are you, sir?
You're very, very lucky to have me today. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm very busy being very presidential, okay? Believe me, I'm the most presidential guy that there ever was. That's all
really?
I can tell you.
Yes. Really? How do you?
A lot of people are saying I am very, very president.
Well, you certainly do enjoy golfing, as many presidents have in the past.
I can't believe everyone's talking about this golfing thing, okay? First of all, Barack Obama, all right, golfed every day of his presidency.
That's not true.
A lot of people know, everyone knows, he would golf every day when he was president.
That's factually incorrect.
Every few days, okay?
Okay,
so already I'm making America golf again. Okay.
Right. You're definitely doing that. But I think the thing is, and I don't think people even care that the president golfs. They want him to have that time to clear his head or whatever. But
yes.
I think you were just...
I need a lot of time to clear my head because my head is full of so many things. I have more things in my head than anybody,
okay?
Believe me.
But what I'm saying...
I have amazing
you have a lot of
head
things. I know you have many
floating,
head things. Right.
Stuck in there, a lot of stuff in the head.
But what I'm saying is...
Unbelievable head filling thing.
It's just that during the campaign, you were saying, the President Obama golfs all the time. I'll never have time to golf because I'll be so busy running the country. And now you've been 9 times in the first 6 weeks. So a lot of people are just saying maybe there's some hypocrisy there.
I said that when I thought being president was going to be hard, okay? But it turns out it's unbelievably easy.
Super
really
easy.
Simple.
Okay.
I don't have a lot to do, so I have a lot of time on my hands. Oh, that's a slice.
Are you golfing right now?
No way. Why would I golf now?
Well, it sounded like
sounded
you
like
hit a ball and then
I'm
you said
busy,
that's a slice.
Busy talking to you and being the president and, of course, China. I got China coming up.
Excuse me?
You have China. The premier of China is coming to visit
The premier of China.
Yeah.
I'm going to see a lot of China.
Oh, China.
A lot of China coming
China.
Up. Absolutely. Going to see
China.
A lot of China.
China.
A lot of China. Thoughts.
China.
China is first and foremost on my mind.
Well,
I'm always
China.
Thinking about China.
Yes, you
and
are.
And I want to make China great again, okay?
Hey,
that's great. That's
okay, if you could just pay attention to the call for just a minute, Mr.
Okay,
President.
Hold on. Take my club. Yes.
Your spokesperson, Kellyanne Conway, was making the rounds on TV, and at one point she said she's not in the business of providing evidence. And I was just wondering, is anybody in your administration in the business of providing evidence about the wiretapping claims?
She's not in the business of providing evidence, okay?
That's what she said,
she's
yes.
Not Columbo, all right? That's what he does.
Right.
Good reference.
Very good reference. But
Columbo had the best evidence.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. And I know he's very popular with you 70-year-olds.
He was awesome, and he had a great raincoat, and he would provide evidence.
Right. You're getting off topic
so
here.
She's not Columbo. She's not Cagney. She's not Lacey.
Nobody was saying she should
those
be. But
people
but
bring evidence.
Right. But she's
not SUV.
Oh,
okay.
SVU, right. But she's a spokesperson.
Loan SUV.
Right. She's a spokesperson for your administration.
She's not loan under HPV either.
Ooh, very
I think people are saying, hey, that whole wiretapping claim, what about backing that up with some proof? I think that's what the question
of all,
is.
I said wiretapping in quotes. Okay?
Yes. Yes, you did.
And wiretapping in quotes means something very different than wiretapping without quotes.
So you didn't mean that the president actually wiretapped your phones or your computers at Trump Tower?
Wiretapping in quotes means he left me a lovely fruit basket when he left office.
Oh.
That seems different.
Yeah, I can understand how that was misunderstood.
If you don't understand quotes, I can't explain it to you. I don't have that kind of time. I'm very busy.
Well, I guess that was my error.
Kellyanne also said that we have microwaves that turn into cameras.
That is absolutely true. Everyone knows that.
No one knows that.
That is a fact of modern life.
It's
that
just
your
not
microwave
true,
is also a camera.
So I'm warming up my burrito and somebody is actually watching me warm it up.
Absolutely. And by the way, it was a hot pocket this morning. I was watching.
Oh, this is scary.
And also, your blender is a listening device. All right. Your crock pot is also a nuclear device.
Okay. No, that's not true, Mr. President.
And
it's
your juicer can also fix rectal itch.
Okay.
These things are all true. These are facts of life. Okay?
Who's going to be the first to try that, I wonder?
I tried it this morning. It was amazing. Unbelievable. China. Or...
Okay, we'll let you get back to that. Thank you, Mr. President. Great for you to jump on today. You know, we've been doing this show a long time, Allie, but every once in a while we have guests in that make me feel like we're kids and they're grown-ups with real jobs and we're not really qualified to do these interviews.
Right.
But we're going to do the best I can as we welcome to the studio the President of Business Operations for your Los Angeles Chargers, A.G. Spanos, and John Spanos, the President of Football Operations for the Chargers. Hey, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So the Los Angeles Chargers, how's that going?
It's going well. We're very excited. It's been an interesting month, but, you know, we've really put our attitude has been that we're going to take nothing for granted, that, you know, we're here to earn the respect of L.A.'s fans, and that's been our attitude, and we're just asking for them to give us an opportunity.
How do those words feel coming out of your mouth as you say it? Do you still have to check yourself? Because your whole life you've said San Diego.
Yeah, it's definitely been an adjustment, like you said. It has been our whole lives. But I think, like my brother said, it's been so exciting. And as we go through this process, it just kind of gets more and more exciting as we go. And I think once we get to the games, I mean, it seems so long away now, but I know it'll be here before we know it. Once we get to the games, it'll be even better.
Yeah. A little bit of a bumpy road getting here. But you
guys, to be expected.
As to be expected. Absolutely. Yeah. How has it been for you guys, just the reaction with, obviously, you've got a ton of fans that are super happy you're here in L.A., and a ton that maybe aren't so happy.
Right. And like, you know, like was said, that's to be expected when you make a move like this. It's a very emotional thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when we announced it, it was certainly very emotional. And, you know, San Diego's been our home for our whole lives, and that will never change, right? Mm-hmm. That'll always be an identity of this team. But going forward, I think this opportunity is so unbelievable and so incredible. And like you said, there's been so much excitement up here, and people have been so welcoming.
Yeah.
And it's been awesome. But, it's been exciting.
Well, when you talk about the opportunity, this is the part that I think people will be interested in hearing about. I mean, you had a successful franchise. You guys were making money in San Diego. What was it that was so irresistible to move the team?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, finally having a solution with our stadium. And I think you look at the stadium that's going to be built in Inglewood, it's going to be probably the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's you know, an opportunity that's hard to
pass. Suck it, Jerry Jones.
That was not me who said that. Yeah,
that was Bean, and I wholeheartedly agree with that, though. I think we all do. It's going to be amazing.
And you look at Los Angeles, right? I mean, it's an unbelievable market, an unbelievable city, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
And you said it's been a bumpy road. You know, and like my brother said, you know, we know it's not going to be easy, right? But nothing in L.A. is easy, right? Yeah. That's what L.A. is all about.
And nothing ever, worth it is, either.
Right, nothing's worth it easy, and nothing's ever given to you in this town. You got to earn it.
Yeah. How long ago did you guys start talking about the possibility of moving? I mean, I know you feel like, and I've seen you say in interviews, that you really did try everything, every idea anyone had to figure out a way to stay in San Diego and make sense for you guys. You did try. So was this a process that started and then took years before you finally pulled the plug?
Yeah, I mean, we had been talking about a stadium solution for over 15 years. So ever since we started full-time with the team, it was a topic of conversation, and we were looking just forward to bringing resolution. I think both of us were kind of tired of dual track conversations, and we're just so glad to have, you know, stability and a plan for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm. And you guys know, being so close to the game for so long, that it's not like waking up and reading in the paper that the company that makes Oreos is moving out of town. You know, people have such a connection with their sports teams. I mean, they live and die by Sundays. And you know that in San Diego. I mean, you know how many people, their identity is the Chargers. It's their favorite thing of the whole week. I can't imagine it was an easy decision for you to make. I mean, even though you're a businessman and you've got a responsibility to make money, I can't imagine it was easy to do.
Yeah, I think, our father, who, you know, obviously spearheaded the decision, would be the first to tell you that it was not very easy. But again, when you look at the last 15 years, they're so well documented, all our efforts down there. You know, and we've spoken with a lot of people in San Diego who have been very supportive, very understanding. They know how loyal, how committed we were to San Diego, how hard we tried, and they're excited to continue to support us. I mean, the great thing is we're just up the road, and you know, a lot of people bought season tickets that were our prior season ticket holders at the new stadium, you know, where we're playing the next 2 years at StubHub. So, you know, that'll all work itself out.
Yeah, and I bet that was something you were a little bit worried about, is whether the people were going to continue to support the team and follow you up north, right?
Well, again, it goes back to the whole, you know, we know that with this move there'd be some challenges. We knew nothing would be easy, but we're also very confident in our plan. You know, we're going to come up here and learn the market. We're going to be committed, ingratiate ourselves in the community. And most importantly, we're going to work hard to put a winning product on the field. I think that'll solve a lot of our problems.
That's a huge part of this whole thing.
Yeah,
if you're good, LA's going to love you. That's just how it works.
And that has been something, I mean, what's the easy answer for why it has been so difficult to win as the Chargers in the recent years?
Well, the last 2 years have certainly been an anomaly for us. I mean, we've had back-to-back losing seasons, I think, for the first time in, like, over 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, we had a stretch from 04, I think, to, like, to 2010, where we were one of the winningest teams in the NFL, you know, went to the playoffs and won a game in 13. So we have a lot of tradition recently in winning. And in the last 2 years, we got off track a little bit. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But the big thing is, what can we do to fix it? And we got a great plan in place. You know, we hired a new coach this offseason, Anthony Lynn, a former player himself.
People love him, right?
Yeah, he's awesome. He's been great to work with for the first couple months since we've hired him. And a great GM in place, and Tom Telesco, putting together a great team. We got a lot of good young players. And we were talking before we came on about our quarterback, Philip Rivers, who's, you know, one of my favorites, one of the best in the NFL. So there's a lot of exciting things about this team.
Will he still be wearing bolo ties?
I was asked that before we came on stage.
That's one of my main
questions. It was definitely
mixed
reviews before we came on. One person was saying, we got to get rid of him. One person was like, I kind of like the bolo ties. I will say that if LA is all about being unique and being yourself, then he needs to keep rocking the bolo tie.
I think you might be right. Okay.
Our guests in studio here on the Kevin Beach are AG and John Spanos from the Los Angeles Chargers. By the way, I've got many more questions for you. Would it be okay to invite some callers to the program? Would you mind?
How well are these callers screened, I guess, would be
That's
my
a
question.
Great question.
Well, maybe you met Beer Mug in the other room. He's about 50-50 on doing a good job, but we'll give him a try. We promise we'll do everything we can to make sure they're nice. How about that?
Hey, your show. We're just guests on your show. It's your world, you know.
I know that it's very rare that you have the opportunity as a fan of a football team to talk to the people who are running the thing. I mean, this is a unique opportunity for us here on the show. We're so grateful that you guys are here. We'd love to hear from some Chargers fans, old or new, at 1-800-520-1067. More with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. Coming up just after 8 o'clock, like we do on Tuesdays here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph and Petros break down last night's Bachelor finale. Did you guys, the Spanos brothers are here from the LA Chargers. You guys watch the 3-hour Bachelor finale last night on ABC?
Please sing. No.
I did not.
Okay.
I did
that one. Sorry.
Yeah, you missed that one, did you? Hey, we're going to go to some phone calls here with the president of business operations, AG, and the president of football operations, John, from the Los Angeles Chargers here in just a moment at 1-800-520-1067. But I wanted to ask, because we're talking during the break there, and you're going around the room here, and Dave's a Falcons fan, and Allie's a Patriots fan, and I'm a Seahawks fan, and Chip's a Dolphins fan. Because there was no football for so long in Los Angeles, many football fans already have adopted another team as their own. Is that a little bit of a challenge for you, trying to get them on board with the Chargers?
At least they're a football fan from the start. At least they appreciate the game. At least they're watching on Sundays. They've already built routines around Sundays. So I think that's a good starting point. And like I said, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So I think we're here for the long haul.
Brick by brick.
Right. Mm. And you mentioned that putting a winning product on the field is going to solve a lot of problems and a lot of apprehension from people. How are you feeling at this point in the, you know, in the off season with the free agencies and whatnot? Do you feel like you're getting some pieces together?
Yeah, I feel very good. A big thing for us this year, we had a number of players who on our own team who were free agents that we wanted to re-sign. Guys like Jaleel Adai, Kellen Clemens, we re-signed Damian Square. And then we went out and signed a UFA from another team, Russell Okung, who's going to be our starting left tackle. So, you know, the offensive line was obviously a position group we wanted to address. So getting a starting left tackle we think is a great start to the offseason.
I loved him with the Seahawks, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tickets are – where are we on the ticket situations? Now, you already – the season tickets are already up for sale or sold out already?
So you want to go on to the – wait for fans out there who are interested in tickets, you want to go on to fightforla.com and put your name – put a $100 deposit down, fully refundable for tickets.
What about single game tickets? When are those going on sale?
Well, right now we're going through the process of selling season tickets for StubHub Center. And StubHub is only 30,000 seats. So that's half the size of a typical NFL stadium. So basically, we've been very pleased with interest levels so far. So we're anticipating that...
No single game tickets.
We'll have to see. So like I said, you want to go on.
Chip was looking at that Miami date and just went, oh, man.
And how long will it take to build the new stadium?
Fall 2019 is scheduled to open.
Okay. All right. Let's take some calls from Chargers fans, new and old, at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we ease into this with Josh in Corona? He's on line 5. I think you guys will like him very much, so we'll get off to a nice, pleasant start in this conversation. Hey, Josh, welcome to the show. You're on with the Spanos. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, I back you 100%. We had been the season ticket holders for about 10 years now. And you know, following the team into L.A. was a no-brainer for me. I mean, it's like if your mother moves to New York, are you not going to talk to her anymore? You know what I mean?
there's your new slogan, boys.
It doesn't make sense at all to me, you know?
All right, so you're just calling to say thumbs up. You're happy wherever the team plays you're in.
Yeah, I guess you're glad they
didn't move to St. Louis, right?
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, being in Corona, I'm kind of in the middle, so it's
all right. Thank you for call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Charger.
Josh, thank you.
Thanks,
Charger
Josh.
Tom, by the way. He sounds like a fan. He's in Whittier. He's on line 6 up next. Hey, Charger Tom, you're on with the guys. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Charger Tom out of Whittier. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a big fan. Bulldog Raiders! Chargers
oh,
song.
Look at that. All right,
man. But he did have a good question about the song. Will you change the San Diego Superchargers song?
I think probably it's not an updated song. I think
it's so catchy, though.
It is catchy. If you're into disco, I don't know what kind of music you're into, but
I mean,
I didn't know this was a disco. You guys mix in some disco music on the station?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, not a
come
lot.
On.
Speaking of the Raiders, Chris is in Anaheim. He's in Anaheim, but he is a Raiders fan. He has a question for you guys too. He's on line 1 up next here on the Kevin and Meade Show. Hi, Chris. You're on. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. My question was, I know the original plan was for you guys to build a stadium in Carson with the Raiders. How disappointed were you when that plan fell through, when the NFL denied that?
You know, I think the owners voted, and we were prepared to accept whatever the outcome was. So we, you know, obviously thought we had a good plan, but, you know, I think Inglewood's going to be tremendous. I, you know, we're excited about the opportunity now to be a part of something very special. We're learning more and more about the project. It's going to be a complete, it's not just going to be a stadium in Inglewood, it's going to be a complete campus. Mm-hmm. And with lifestyle, retail, hotel, it's going to really transform that neighborhood. And it's very exciting to be part of something so unique.
It is amazing what these new stadiums look like and how much they cost. I mean, didn't Jerry's Stadium cost over $1 billion to build?
Yes, I think the scoreboard alone in AT&T Park costs more than the old Dallas Cowboys Stadium. So,
My goodness!
Yeah. All right, thank you for the call, Chris. Appreciate that.
That seems like a bad business model.
It's a big scoreboard.
It is huge.
You guys did I read correctly that you guys, in order to, first of all, you had to get approval in order to move the team into a different city, but did you have to pay like $600 million or something like that in order to move?
There's a relocation fee that's going to be paid out over many years, but yeah, it's $650 million.
They want you to take it seriously if you make a decision like that, don't they? Want you to put some thought into it. What was it like for you guys? How old were you each when your family bought the Chargers? I imagine you were babies, right?
Yeah, it was 1984. I think I was 5 years old, and that was when we moved down to San Diego. And so our whole lives, we've grown up around it.
Yeah.
And what's it like being a little kid with a franchise in the family? I mean, did you go to all the games? Did you hang out with the players? I mean, were you the coolest kids in school?
We grew up around the team. I mean, my brother and I, we during summers in high school, we worked for the team. We were each ball boys. We, you know, took players to the airport. We, you know, did whatever job was necessary and had been around the team our whole lives. I think I think both of us sort of are living our dream, you know, wanted to in these roles since we were little kids.
I think what's so awesome is just, I know for me, like the passion that I have for football, how much I love it, and to be able to grow up. I mean, just, and like my brother said, we've worked at every level of this organization. Yeah. I mean, every remedial task you can think of, you know, those internships in the summer, making copies, you know, stuffing binders, driving players to the airports, shagging balls at practice, you know, we've done every task there is to do. And honestly, I just feel so grateful to have been able to do all that and grow up around the team.
There's a camaraderie, too, with all the workers then. You've done everything, so you understand it.
Yeah, you know, actually, it's funny because when I see interns like stuffing binders, I'm like, look, I give them tips. I'm like, you open it up and the spine is easier to get in. I know because I've done this.
Like, how does he know this?
That's amazing. Did you ever have any kinds of relationships with players? Did you become friends with players throughout the growing up that way?
You get to know them, yeah. You know, some players were closer than others. Obviously, longevity and how long they're with the team. You know, when we were kids growing up, like in 1994, we went to the Super Bowl, and our quarterback was Stan Humphries. And to this day, our family is very close with Stan Humphries. We see him, you know, maybe once a year or twice a year and talk to him regularly. And
he came to a game this year.
Came to a game this
Madison,
past
Houston.
Year.
He's out in Louisiana and... Yeah.
And there are a handful of guys like that, you know, that we stay in touch with. And of course, now, as we've gotten older, a lot of the more recent players kind of, you know, have spent more time with them and getting to know them and have relationships.
Is LaDainian working with the Chargers organization again?
I don't think anything's official yet. I know there have been discussions. LaDainian's one of the all-time greats, probably the greatest Charger in the history of our franchise. He's an not just an unbelievable player, but really an unbelievable human being.
He was Hall of Fame this year, right?
He is in this year's Hall of Fame class. We're very excited to go back to Canton and celebrate with him.
Yeah, that's fun. All right, let's talk to David in Riverside. He's calling about something very timely for today. David is on line three, and he is up next with AG and John Spanos from the Chargers. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you gentlemen doing? Top of the morning.
What's up, David?
Hey, I just want to say, you know, I just want to congratulate you guys on your move. You know, you guys have brought back your team to Los Angeles for your grandfather. I mean, your grandfather just started there.
They know all that so far. What are you calling about, though?
Well, actually, I'm calling to say I'm going to see you guys later today at Pink's. I haven't heard anything today about Pink's and the release of the Charger dog.
Nice.
What was
it? I said, nice. Yeah, Mr. Pink is right next to us over here, and he showed us a picture of the Charger dog. They got it laminated. I hope you're bringing with you an appetite, David.
Oh, yes. That's what I definitely am. I mean, I'm a big guy. You guys might remember who I am. I was the guy that kicked the heckler out of the rally. I was at the rally at the Forum, too. I'm a diehard. You know, I represent Diehard Bowl Club. And, I mean, we're all season ticket holders. I just wanted to, you know, show you guys my support.
I think I do. Were you in the front row? You were in the front row. I think I do remember you at the rally, actually.
Hey, yeah. I came down to the front row to kick that dude out that was heckling.
Yeah, right. That's awesome.
David,
man.
Got your back.
He wants some hot dogs.
Yeah, David's a good deal right there.
All right. Thank you for calling. The guys will see you down at Pink's. And let me mention that because this is something that's just happening today, right? Like Pink's Hot Dogs, which we love here at K-Rock. They are welcoming the Chargers to Los Angeles with a Chargers Chili Cheese Dog. It's a limited time menu item. Listen to this. 2 9-inch all-beef hot dogs in one bun topped with mustard, chili, nacho cheese, and french fries alongside a tray of onion rings. Now, you can only eat one of those per lifetime, I would think, right?
Not David.
Not David. I mean, yeah, that's David's like part of the regular regimen for him. I would say this, though. Even if you're not interested in eating one, you got to just Google image what this thing looks like because it's unbelievable.
It's pretty crazy. As an added bonus, the first 20 Chargers fans wearing Chargers gears who visit Pink's today get a free Chargers chili cheese dog courtesy of Pink's. Now, are you guys going down there? Is that what I'm understanding? You're
so
doing something down there
today? After this, so.
Yep,
oh, you're heading down to Pink's right after this?
Mm-hmm. Later today,
all right.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. So if Chargers fans want to meet you, just hang out at Pink's all day and eat. That sounds good. All right, we're almost out of time, guys. What else didn't we cover that we got a big microphone here, you want to get the word out to Chargers fans. What else do we need to know?
Go for it, bro. What do you got?
Well, I just would say that that we're excited to be here in Los Angeles.
It is Los Angeles, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
See, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, we're working on it. No, in all seriousness, we're excited to be here and appreciate the opportunity and are so grateful to people like you here at K-Rock, the world-famous K-Rock, to have us here and welcome us to Los Angeles. So,
well, we're happy to have you, and we're so excited to have the football season start again. So, good luck. I hope it's a great year for you guys, and you're welcome anytime. Thanks so much for coming in, boys.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Remix. LA and OC's alternative rock. It's the world famous K-Rock Kevin and Bean show at 7:53. By the way, tickets are on sale now for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We're going to be at the Shrine Auditorium on April 1st. Angela Johnson, by the way, who we got to get in here. She's so funny. On the bill with us that night. On the 1st, also David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, Bill Burr, whoever wins our opening act contest. You can see them all for one low, low price. Tickets as low as $25, by the way, with proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. They are on sale now at AXS.com. Won't you please come? Get some tickets for a good cause and join us for a fun night April 1st at the Shrine. All right, Ralph, so it's a double dose of you here. We got the Showbiz Beat now, and then right after the top of the hour, you and P are going to break down The Bachelor for us.
We are. We are indeed. Also, while you were talking about April Foolishness, I did want to let folks know that if you are a comedian in town, and I know how hard that can be to be doing open mics and to try to get time on the stage at places like the Improv and the Comedy Store and Flappers, here's your chance to be seen in front of a huge crowd at the Shrine Auditorium. We're looking for a local comedian to open up April Foolishness. You'll be the first act on the lineup. You've got to be 18 years of age or older. If you'd like to perform at April Foolishness and you're a comedian, send us some of your stuff. You can go to krock.com right now for all the information, but you submit a little YouTube link of your comedy material. We'll take a look, and we're going to have the top 10 finalists in March. At the end of March 27th, and then we'll vote on them, and the one who gets the most votes will be able to open up the April Foolishness show, and it's a pretty cool gig. We talked to Eddie Pence, of course, who has done it, and Grant Cotter. And
they were both terrific.
A bunch of guys who were very talented and had a chance to do their stuff in front of a big crowd. It's kind of fun. So do that, won't
you? Do that indeed, yes.
Let me give away something while we're here. All week long I've been talking about Paley Fest, all last week as well, about how much I love Paley Fest and the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. It's right there in Beverly Hills. If you've never been, by the way, as an aside, go there. It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. They've got an amazing library of every TV show that's ever been on television, radio programs, and all. They always do a series of great live events there at the museum. And also, they put together Paley Fest every year, which is a collection of evenings with your favorite TV shows, the casts and creators of your favorite shows right there for you to see live and in person. It all happens at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. And I've got tickets, four pairs of tickets, to one of the most popular animated programs on television right now, Fox's Bob's Burgers.
Yay!
We'll be having their night at the Dolby Theater on March 24th. If you are a fan of Bob's Burgers, and I know a lot of folks are, because, I do Family Guy, and I hear a lot of people talk about how much they love the animation domination lineup on Fox on Sunday nights. If you are interested in seeing the voices and the creators and the writers for Bob's Burgers, a very funny show, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First four folks who get through with that phone number will get a pair of tickets to attend an evening with Fox's Bob's Burgers at Paley Fest. All right. There's a sequel in the works for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Here's the shocker, though. Here's the flipper. Here's the thing that makes everybody go, whoa? They're going to recast it. All new cast for the film.
Mm.
Rarely does that happen in a sequel as closely connected time-wise as The Girl in the Spider's Web will be, which is the name of it.
Have there been one movie or two so far? There's been two, right?
Well, there was the original Swedish film.
Right.
And then there was the American version, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I think was Daniel Craig, right? And Rooney Mara, if
that's
I'm not
correct.
Mistaken.
Boy, that was a good movie.
It was a good film. You will not see either of those people in this new one.
That's
They're looking for a
Why?
New girl. They're looking to need a new girl.
Why?
I don't know if Rooney Mara was locked down for a sequel when she made her deal for the last film. But no, she will not be playing that role. So they're talking now to Natalie Portman, Scarlett Johansson, all the usual suspects, you know.
And they're remaking The Usual Suspects also?
Gilligan! Sequel will be in theaters October 5th, 2018. They've got a release date already, but no cast yet. So seems like putting cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Scarlett Johansson, by the way. And I know some people give ScarJo the occasional shot for maybe not being the greatest actress. Watching Saturday Night Live over the weekend, she is a great sketch comedian.
Really?
Really does a great job on that show. I thought she was very, acquitted herself very, very well.
I did not watch.
There's a very funny sketch about she's a scientist who finds a way to read dogs' minds, pets' minds.
Okay.
And puts a little helmet on a little pug dog and is able to read its mind. And it's her own dog. It's her best friend. And to her dismay, she finds out that the dog's a Trump supporter.
Oh,
And they start arguing back and forth. And it was very, very funny. And she was terrific in it. So
I really enjoyed the animal pornographer
That was also a very funny
she
sketch.
She did, by the way. She was very funny in that.
There were a lot of good sketches Saturday night. So there you go. Matt Damon. Remember in The Martian, he grew potatoes? Well, Anheuser-Busch has taken a page from that film, and they've decided they're going to brew beer on Mars.
Huh.
Yep, they plan to brew Budweiser beer on Mars.
Please explain.
You can do that, can you?
Well, Allie, smarty pants, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Budweiser executives are investigating the microgravity techniques for brewing beer in space so they can be prepared for the inevitable colonization of Mars. Seems like a waste of time.
What is happening, Budweiser?
Yeah. So we'll have Bud on Mars. That's all that really matters, right?
Now, if I recall correctly from that book and later the movie The Martian, Matt Damon grew potatoes in his own poop, right? Isn't that what he used for fertilizer?
He did use that as fertilizer. Yes.
Yeah, is Budweiser? Is that how they're doing theirs as well?
Budweiser,
right?
Right. We called it that.
Nailed it.
Chop right. Yeah, I don't think. I think Bud has other things to worry about. Right. You need to worry about space beer.
Yeah.
It's going to be dehydrated. You have to like Tang. You have to add water or something and suck it through a straw.
The worst.
Doesn't sound like a good plan.
I'm not on board.
He said, dang.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Quincy Jones is 84 years old today. Ah, I remember spending all that time with Q in the studio when we were doing We Are the World. I checked my ego at the door.
I was
such a good time. I'll never forget. It was all the biggest stars, all my contemporaries. We were all there, and really,
Ralph, you weren't there. You may have.
There comes a time.
You may have bought the record, but
when you
didn't
need another
it.
Friend,
he'd a certain
such big liar.
And your friends,
not the words
around you, also need friends.
Again,
I don't know what you're singing.
There are friends among us.
No, there are people dying.
We need some other friends.
I'm gonna help him.
And I reach out. Give you my hand because you're my friend.
Okay, that's fine, Rob.
Good time.
Not how that went at all.
Michael Caine is 84 years old today.
Yeah, he is.
Billy Crystal, 69. Chris Klein is 38. Jamie Bell turns 31. Sasha Gray is 29. Ansel Elgort is 23 years old today. And Simone Biles of the USA gymnastic team, now on Dancing with the Stars, she's 20. And speaking of comedians, our buddy Eddie Ift celebrates a birthday today.
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie's 43. We love you, Eddie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
L.A. and O.C.'s alternative rock. I like that. I like the way that sounds. Who's with me?
Yeah, everybody's with you.
Hey, Chief. We're going to give away tickets to the first Kevin and Bean singles party in years. But first, I think you know what day and what time it is. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch.
Hot damn.
The Bachelor, so you don't.
friend Petros Papadakis back to the program. He is the co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 LA Sports weekday afternoons. How are you, P?
Hello. Good morning. Hello to everybody.
Now, before Ralph and you take us through last night's Bachelor Report, I don't know if you heard, but we had your mortal enemy, Chris Tiny Hands Harrison, on the program with us yesterday.
Not you too.
And, I did hear about this.
He called you out, P, and I just want to play the tape just so you're aware of what you're walking into if you're in a dark alley one night. Here's what Chris had to say about you.
I appreciate it. I do listen, and that's why I want to punch Petros in the neck.
Save that tape for tomorrow.
No, he and I are going to be together someday in a dark alley, and these small hands are going to come at him like a badger.
That's right.
Like a badger?
So you have been warned, P. Chris Harrison has your number, sir.
This is the second or third time that Chris Harrison has come on your show and threatened violence against me.
He's doing the right thing. I mean, you've earned it.
Yeah, you really. I can understand why he's had an ass full
of
hand talk.
Yeah.
I hope he comes and gets me. And I hope when he does, he's got his fingers all spread out like he's trying to look like he has big hands as he's walking toward me.
So
and if he ended my life, everybody knows he'd be doing me a favor.
But
I don't think it would go down like that.
He's going to badger you, though. He's going to give you the badger. Little hands are going to dig, man.
I hope so. I hope he gives me rabies and I go crazy.
He'll dig the heart right out of your chest cavity.
Now, P, you sound so sad today. Aren't you happy with the conclusion of The Bachelor last night? Nick is engaged.
No. It's great to go on a show every week and then have them sell out and just shill for the dude that wants to kick your ass. That's a great feeling, you know?
You started it by picking on the size of his hands many years ago.
Well, look.
How's the guy supposed to feel about you?
He makes up for having small hands by having a terrible personality.
How dare you,
kid.
Bad, bad man.
It was a terrible, terrible finale.
It was awesome beyond words.
Well, you're just saying that because Chris Harrison was there yesterday.
I'm not, and I loved it, and it was all nothing but magic.
It was terrible. There wasn't even romantic. These people have no I have a better chance of going to a winter formal with Chris Harrison than Nick and Vanessa have of making it.
How dare you?
All right, what happened? How did it all go down, Ralph?
Well, first of all, the girls had to meet Nick's family. Now, Raven had already met Nick's family before when she was roller skating with his younger sister. But Vanessa met the family for the first time. And Vanessa had a lot of doubts about the relationship. And she was crying a lot last night out of fear. And she got together with Nick's dad. And Nick's dad started to cry out of fear. And together they just cried to each other out of fear.
Oh, God.
It was a great show.
And she was concerned because of her strong feelings for Nick.
Just never thought I was going to meet anyone like his son.
They're both crying, and they just go in for the big cry hug, and I was waiting for it. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. Because there was a little
that
vibe.
That would be a plot.
Nick's dad was like, yeah, I'm thinking, yeah. And she was like, oh, I need a shoulder cry on.
That's
and
her
I thought
son's
there was just
girlfriend.
For just a moment, I thought there was going to be a little twist. It was going to be a bachelor twist where dad runs off with one of Nick's girlfriends, which would have been awesome.
There was a movie like that with Jeremy Irons and Juliette Binoche. It was called Shattered, and the dad ran off with the woman, and it was terrible. The kid committed suicide. The woman disappeared. It's not a good thing, Ralph.
All right, Chuckles. Thanks so much. Good times. Meanwhile, Raven is so sure of love that she showed up at the final rose ceremony just convinced that she was going to walk out of there an engaged woman, and
she's very deeply, legitimately in love with Nick.
Very much so.
Beaming.
And she stood there in front of Nick, and she professed her undying love and her confidence in the fact that she was going to be the chosen one.
And it was obviously a love that my dad had always prayed for me to have, an easy love. So with that, I want you to know that I'm ready, and I couldn't be more sure.
She could not be more sure.
Ooh, that's so sad.
That she was going to get a ring.
Turns out
she did not get a ring. She got a foot in her ass.
Oh.
She got booted out the door. And my favorite part of the goodbye, Nick, of course, cried because he's a crier.
Uh-huh.
And he felt really bad, I think, about breaking her heart. And he admitted at the end that he would always have a soft spot for her and would be thinking about her a lot with this little interchange.
I'm going to miss you.
I know.
I'm going to miss you. I know. She hand-soloed him.
She soloed him at the end.
At what point, Ralph, did the snows of Finland just bring a huge downer on the whole thing?
I think a couple weeks ago. It's not a fun atmosphere, that Finnish winter.
It made everybody so heavy and sad.
It's oppressive. It's oppressive.
Look, and I know Chris explained to us yesterday you can only go to so many beaches before the show starts to look identical week to week, but it was a little bit of a bummer to see them out there in their snowsuits every day.
The best part was when Raven gets the boot, they send her off without her coat.
She showed up
with this big fur coat.
Come on.
He kind of pushes her out the door, and she's out there just in her dress.
This is not okay.
No coat whatsoever.
And she has to hitchhike home.
No, they put her in the SUV, and they send her back to Finnair Airport, whatever they end up.
Finlandia
Airport. And then there she was, looking stunning as always. Vanessa showed up with her décolletage on display, and she said that she was ready, and Nick got the ring, and he said finally he could speak his true feelings in his heart.
I don't want to fight it anymore, because I do love you. I am in love with you. And I'm glad I don't have to try to not say it.
Now, love, P. How can you not love love?
All they do is cry, and once they fight, the only relationship they had was this weird dance of I might love you and she might be into this. But once they actually seem to profess it, I don't think there's anything there.
Well, I don't know if you watched after the final rose, the special afterwards.
I did.
But they were together, and they admitted they've had some difficult times.
Oh, no.
Already?
Yes, already.
That's the hardest part of a relationship is those first couple months. Everybody knows that.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, no, that's the easiest part. But they do live in separate countries. That's got to be a problem.
It works for me.
And they're taking baby steps. They haven't picked a date yet for their marriage, but they're a fiancé. They're getting to know each other. That's the position.
Just admit that they're miserable, Ralph. Admit it.
They didn't look like they were like head over heels in love. I'll give you that much.
Somebody last night on my social media said that Nick and Vanessa looked at each other like people who have grown to hate one another after 25 years of marriage.
Oh, man.
Just not how you want to start.
Love each other like my grandparents who had an arranged marriage.
See? There's hope.
So how do you feel? Now, I know you've said all along that Vanessa's too good for him, and you kind of hoped she wouldn't get picked. But what do you honestly think their chances are of even getting married, Ralph?
I don't think it's going to happen.
P, what do you think?
I think that Nick is a perpetual bachelor, and he will be on reality TV for the rest of his life. And if Vanessa was smart, she'd go back to the adult special needs school in Vancouver with those people that like her.
Montreal.
Find herself a nice Canadian boy.
Is there a difference?
Yes.
Now, when Chris was on yesterday.
Between Montreal and Vancouver? Yes. And
then it's all part of a hat for America.
It's 10,000 miles apart, though.
Then, P, I had to wonder how you felt about the historic moment last night on After the Final Rose. That's something that had never been done before in Bachelor history.
It's going to be a rough season. I mean, it's going to be unreal.
It's going to be a
lot of racial talk.
They brought out Rachel, who, of course, is the Bachelorette for the show that's starting in May. And they made an historic change in how the show works. You know, the beginning of every season of The Bachelorette, she's standing there and they pull the limos up and the eligible fellows get out of the limo trying to impress her. Last night, they started that process right away, live in front of a studio audience, started bringing out dudes for her to meet.
Did Rachel know?
She had no idea. She was shocked and stunned, as we all were in America. We all gasped as that started to begin to happen. She met the first four suitors last night live in front of an audience, which made an incredibly awkward situation even more awkward because people were watching.
And they couldn't edit that.
They couldn't edit anything. Oh. I bet they wish they could have edited Dean, who came out to talk to Rachel. Here's what Dean, one of the Bachelorette suitors, had to say.
How are you? I'm Dean.
Dean, nice to meet you.
Dean, nice to meet you.
You look amazing.
Thank you. You look great,
too. Yeah, of course. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Good.
I'm very nervous.
Good. I just want to let you know, I'm ready to go black, and I'm never going to go back.
That's
how we're starting the season.
Dean. It is going to be a long season, P. You're right.
He's ready to go black, and he's never going back.
Some have gone and then come back.
He's never coming back.
It sounds
once
like
he goes black, P.
All right, so P, you've successfully endured another season of The Bachelor. Are you still in? Will you be watching Rachel's season when it kicks up in May?
Damn it, you know I can't quit you guys.
All right, you can't quit. All right, P, thanks so much. We enjoyed it all season long. We'll look for you this afternoon doing your own Bachelor Report with Money, what, at 5 o'clock or so? Or what are the Dodgers screwing you up today?
No, 5 o'clock. And remember, spread out those fingers to make it a big 5.
All right. Thank you, P. Appreciate the time, sir. All right. Speaking of love, Ralph,
yes.
We announced earlier this morning the next Kevin and Bean singles party. Now, Allie always makes fun of me when I say this, but the official name is Kevin and Bean's March-a-ka-bow-wow Vegas singles party.
It's March-a-ka-bow-wow.
I feel like I did that exactly
no,
right.
No, it's not even close to what that was.
Try it again, Bean.
March-a-ka-bow-wow. What's wrong with that?
That was better than the first time.
It is a week from Friday night, so it's coming up fast. A two-night hotel stay at the Link Hotel and round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Party Bus. We are looking for you if you are single, 21 or over. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, this is our first singles party giveaway in years. What are we looking for?
In honor of Raven, who was horribly heartbroken last night in front of a national TV audience, we thought we would offer up our first tickets to people who have recently been broken up with. If you've been broken up with and you've got a bad breakup story, we want to hear your breakup story. Make us feel bad for you, we want to give you tickets so you can meet the new love of your life at our March-a-ka-bow-wow singles party in Las Vegas. So if you've been broken up with and you felt hideous humiliation, call and give us your breakup stories. If we feel sorry enough for you, we're going to give you tickets so you can attend the Kevin and Bean singles party in Vegas.
1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next on K-Rock. I was just thinking about, Ralph, how long ago we started these singles parties. It was forever.
Yes.
And the reason we did is because what's easier than having something in common when you first meet somebody? That gets you past some of that awkward conversation because we're going to have this party in Las Vegas a week from Friday night, and these people will all be fans of the Kevin and Bean Show. And that gives you
they'll be listeners.
All right, they'll be
fans.
That does give you a starting point, though, in talking about the things that you guys enjoy together about the show.
You will automatically know that someone has incredibly poor taste in radio when you go to this party. So
you will hope they have incredibly poor taste in dates as well, I guess.
Yes.
Talking about the Kevin and Bean March-a-ka-bow-wow Vegas singles party 1 week from Friday night, courtesy of Chips, the buddy comedy starring Dax Shepard and Michael Pena, who we're both fans of both of those gentlemen. The movie's coming out that same day on March 24th, so we're giving away some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you are single and coming to the party, we do ask that you bring a single friend of the same sex, because we're trying to keep the numbers about even. Once again, Ralph, for folks just tuning in, what's the topic this morning?
Well, in honor of Raven, who last night on The Bachelor got unceremoniously dumped in front of millions of people on television, we thought we would offer up tickets to folks who could use them. Someone who just went through a bad breakup. You were done dirty by someone, and they cut you loose, and now there you are, single. How do I start again? Well, you go to Vegas, and you go to a Kevin and Bean singles party, and that's how you get back on that horse.
I like it. All right. Well, listen, we can give away as many tickets or as few tickets as we want here. So why don't we make it between the three of us? Let's make it a 2 out of 3 on whether the person gets the tickets or not. How about that?
Fair enough.
Why don't we start with Olive? She's up first. She's on line 2. She's in Pasadena. Let's hear her tale of woe. Olive, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You got broken up. How?
Olive.
She got broken up by the phone company.
He cut her phone lines.
Wow.
If you know Olive, send the authorities.
That was not a great start.
No,
all right, we've
not.
Lost her, right? Chip, she gone.
Yeah, she gone.
Okay.
Yeah, brother.
Let's try Patrick, line 3, Santa Clarita. He'll instead be our first caller. And Olive, if you're still listening, dear, please call us back. All right, Patrick, what's going on, man?
Well, long story short, dating coworkers is not smart. And I had a pretty on and on relationship for over 7 years with her.
An on and on relationship, one of those?
Long story short.
Yeah, right.
Right.
That's how it is with a coworker.
Okay, so you're dating a coworker for 7 years, and then what happened?
She wound up marrying somebody else that I work with at the same company. And I've been at this job for over 20 years, and now it's like, oh, Lord, it's really uncomfortable to be here.
Did your girlfriend break up with you when she married some other dude?
Well, she's like, guess what? She's like, we're not going to see each other. And then, like, 4 months later, she's just, like, remarried. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm sure Patrick's a nice guy. I am not feeling him right now.
I'm not feeling it either, Patrick. Sorry.
Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate
it, sir. God bless.
Let's go. Good luck. Stop boning your coworkers. Here's
Let's go to Newport Beach Line 4. This is going to be Rob. He's up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Rob, you got broken up. How? What happened?
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, basically, I met a friend of mine introduced me to this one girl, and she's really cool. We had a lot in common, hit it off, dated her for a couple months. She's
great.
A physical therapist.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I just stopped getting calls. I was texting, hey, what's going on? She never returned my text and called me back, and she's like dropped off the face of the earth. I found out she was. I mean, I knew it should work. I just didn't want to be creepy and stalk her like that. But
right.
I just went over there and just said, hey, what's, you know, I mean, just said, hey, you know. And
she needed some closure.
She ended up telling me she was seeing, long story short, she told me she was seeing her patient, which was this guy named Neil, and he was a paraplegic.
Okay. First of all, you're way too past the opportunity to say long story short. You are way too far into the story to start with long story short. Okay. Second of all, the girl that you were dating left you for a paraplegic.
Her patient,
guess. One of her patients. Wow.
I mean, that's on you, dude. That's really a judgment on you. I'm sorry. Isn't it?
What?
What does that mean?
What does that mean, Bean?
No, I'm just saying she looked at A and she looked at B and she chose somebody who wasn't you, Rob.
No, that's not what you meant
at
all.
That's not it, Bean.
No.
There's
some sort of handicap slam and buried in there.
I'm just
and you're
saying,
creepy.
I'm just saying, I think Rob's a no, is what I'm saying.
Just say that. Okay. I'm going to say now, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Can we give away some tickets? I'd love to give away some tickets.
Yeah, I was going to give them to Rob. What happened?
Who do you like here? Do you like Barbara? You want to talk to Barbara?
Sure.
Let's do that. Pomona Line 5, up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Barbara, thank you for calling. Help us give away some singles party tickets. What's going on?
My boyfriend of 3.5 years broke up with me by email.
Oh, email breakup, the worst. Second only, I think, to the text breakup.
Well, post-it note.
I was up north with my son and his wife for about 3 weeks waiting for the baby to come and then staying with them for a couple weeks to help. And before I came home, I texted him. I said, do you have plans Sunday? And he said, no plans.
And no girlfriend.
I said, make plans. And then that Sunday was when the storms were real bad in January, and I said, should we wait until later in the week or the next weekend? And he said, that's a good idea.
Stop it. These are people.
And I never heard from him. And then 2 weeks later, I got an email, and the best part was...
Okay, hang on, Barbara. Hang on. All right,
you're asking for their stories, and they're heartbroken, and then you're like, oh,
just because
I'm
you can't connect
enough.
With human beings doesn't they're mean you get a dump on everybody.
Boring, though.
They're not boring. They're telling
boring.
The pain of their lives.
They don't make you want to meet any of them, though, and I love that they listen, and I thank them, and I'm sure they're very, very nice. I'm saying it's not translating on the phone right now. Am I wrong about that? Do you hear any of these callers and go, wow, I can't wait to party with that person?
Well, we're trying to hear their stories to find out.
Okay, we're out of time. We can do just one more. I'll let you choose, Ralph. Who's your best guess here?
Let's go to Doug in Venice. Let's see what's up with Doug.
All right, Doug. Save the segment, my friend. What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Talk to me, Doug. What happened with you and your girlfriend?
I really need to get to the singles party. I was with this girl since I was 20. I'm 31 now, 11 years.
Wow.
I started raising her son when I met her. He was about a year and a half. Just last July, she started acting strange, hanging out late with her sister, not answering the phone.
The old sister ploy.
Bars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, slowly but surely, she's got more distant and distant, so I hit her up about it. She said she admitted it, and she's been hanging out with somebody. Found out that I slept with her the day after she slept with him.
Oh,
kind of made me mad.
Oh, you don't want an Eskimo brother, son. I'm with you. Ben, Doug,
I was
sounds
a little
like,
worried about that, too.
Don't worry
like,
about
are
it,
you
Doug.
Kidding
we're,
me?
No, we're going to give you a fresh start, son. We're going to give you a fresh start. We're going to send you to Vegas, and you're going to go to the party. You're going to have a good time.
Okay.
Hell
all right,
yeah.
So Doug has turned the ship around. We're good now, right?
Doug is
all
in.
Right. And we'll give away a few more off the air, too, to people who are calling at 1-800-520-1067. It's 1 week from Friday night. Again, we're going to be at the Link Hotel, round trip transportation on the K-Rock Party Bus. It's back, you guys. The Kevin and Bean Marcha Kabow Wow Vegas Singles Party. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets on K-Rock. Jet on K-Rock, LANOC's alternative rock here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show, 841. Saw Cousin Sal on my TV talking about you can win his house, Allie.
What?
It sounds like you're not even sure you want his house. You got a lot of questions, I understand.
I have so many questions for Sal.
Fox Sports Illustrated Bracket Challenge, almost here, the NCAA College Basketball Tournament, and Cousin Sal is going to give you the opportunity to win his house. It's a delight to welcome him back to the program. How are you, sir?
Oh, good. Thanks for having me, Bean. I appreciate it.
When I saw you on The Herd and I saw that picture, I swear to you, Sal, and I know that there's, there can be some shenanigans involved in making things look real that aren't, but it looked like a model home. It didn't look like a real house that people live in.
No, I promise it's my house. In fact, you know, I thought maybe there's a way out of it. And it, I don't know, it's a way out of my own idea where I would give up my house for anyone who can complete a perfect bracket, which is very difficult. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I was like, well, maybe if things get hairy, I could buy a house in like Saginaw, Michigan for $30,000 and just give that away. But no, this is really it. Everyone's upset with me, the whole family, and yeah, this is going down for sure.
Yeah, I was wondering about the family. I mean, because is this the type of thing you check with them ahead of time, or did they hear about it on ESPN like the rest of us?
No, actually, I explained the contest to my wife on the way to Valentine's Day dinner, and she cried.
Oh, no.
She cried a little bit. Yeah, so, I'm not the most tactful guy.
Now, Sal, you had, I thought, and I don't have the stats to back this up, but I thought you had the best, most reliable NFL forecast season you've ever had. You were on fire in this NFL season. But it's a whole different animal when you get to the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, this thing is almost, forget perfect, it's almost impossible to win guessing this thing, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, and yes, it is. The odds are 1 in 9.2 quintillion or something. Like, you'd have to make that many brackets. But if it's going to happen to anyone, it's going to happen to me, Bean, because I've had the worst bad beats in the last 12 months. I don't know if you want to go over them, but Golden State Warriors, they had 73 wins. They were up 3-1 against Cleveland. They blew it. I had a lot of money on them. Mm-hmm. I had Hillary Clinton to win the election. I bet her. I don't know if you follow the fake news, but that didn't happen.
Okay,
she is
sure.
Not our president. I had the Atlanta Falcons plus 3.5 points down. They're up 25 points. Even if it goes to overtime, they should lose by 3, right? No,
right.
I lose that game. So, yeah, I'm primed. That's sissy stuff. I'm ready to lose a house.
What advice do you give to people who are not super sports fans like you are, but love to get involved in an office pool? Like, how should somebody sit down when they haven't heard of most of the teams and even fill out a bracket?
Well, I think it's, I run the office pool too at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I like to get a lot of the ladies involved, and I figure I could put it online, but then I'm normally hovering over them the last minute. I'm like, come on, just fill it out. And they claim to not know as much as anyone, but that's the beauty of the NCAA pool. If you have the lower seeds advancing, you have as good a chance as anyone, theoretically. Now, I would take the 5-12 matchup as an upset normally. There's two or three, the 7-10 matchup. But traditionally, you should have all twos and three seeds going into the final four, or the grade eight, as they like to call
because
it.
Because that's almost always how it ends up. It's very rare that there really is a Cinderella bracket-busting team, right?
Right, exactly right, yeah. Stay with the chalk.
Was it last year? I should have looked this up. I want to say it was like Middle Tennessee or something, was some sort of like crazy, like out-of-nowhere team that beat a bunch of teams they weren't supposed to?
Middle Tennessee State they beat Michigan State in the first round. Michigan State was a number two seed. A number one seed has never lost in the first round. I think they're 128-0. But yeah, Michigan State, that was a huge upset. In fact, I don't want to name drop, but I was fishing with Jimmy and my cousin Jimmy and Huey Lewis, and I was on the river, and I had so much money on Michigan State. I was watching on my sling box, and they're screaming at me to look at the scenery. And I only cared about the 3-inch screen in front of me. I haven't been invited back. So
that is a very surreal moment to be out there in a river with Huey Lewis while you're watching TV on your phone. That's a weird life you're living, cousin Sal.
I always knew it would happen. Yeah.
All right. I just want to ask you just for a couple things, just because we have a lot of people who are very excited, especially about UCLA this season. They had a little bit of a dip last week, but they are. I mean, how far will they go in this tournament? How are you feeling about the Bruins?
I think, it's funny, Kentucky complains about where they were seated, but I think UCLA has it worse that they have to meet up with Kentucky, and I think it would be the third round, and I think that's where they stop.
They get it that far. Okay, yeah. And USC, they're the play-in game this year, right? So even if they win their way in, they're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything, right?
I don't believe they will, but I do think they win. They're too athletic for that matchup, and I think they advance to at least the field of 64.
All right, 2017 Fox Sports Sports Illustrated Bracket Challenge. Cousin Sal is not kidding about this. You literally win his house if you fill a perfect bracket. bracket, but the best bracket does win $25,000, and that is legit, and that is something that absolutely will be awarded, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, Cousin Sal, BetsTheHouse.com. Sal, have a great tournament. Great to catch up with you, man. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
On.
Take care, man.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's KROQ, Kevin and Bean Show, 8:54, Tuesday morning. Rob is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
In case you missed the recap of The Bachelor last night, Nick Viall said a tearful goodbye to Raven, and then picked Vanessa Grimaldi.
Oh, that's right.
29-year-old. Special education teacher from Montreal.
Goddess.
She's so hot. So freaking hot.
And so nice and so smart. And
yeah, I got my wife, though, she got a bit of a whiff, a little bitch whiff.
Really?
And
really?
After the final rose.
Hmm.
And I told my wife after I picked her up, I said, don't you ever dare
talk about Vanessa,
talk about my Vanessa girlfriend like that.
Terrifying.
But I think the reason she might have been a little cranky is that she's it's Nick. She's in a relationship.
She's over
with Nick.
It already.
Yeah, I think she's
yeah.
over with
yeah.
it. That's why she seems a little cranky.
Yeah.
And she also, I don't know. I just feel like this isn't how she wanted to meet somebody. You know what I mean? Like this.
Yeah.
She's
on
not
the show.
This type of girl.
Well, she was forced to go on the show. That's the problem. They put a gun to her head and they made her go on The Bachelor. Yeah.
See, I thought it was her own free will.
See, that's a.
I heard that she had never even watched a complete season of the show.
She hadn't. But then if you go into something,
it's on you to be aware of what it is.
Then you're a dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe so. Maybe there's a misstep on the otherwise perfect Vanessa.
And let's just call BS on never saw a whole season. Give me a break.
How dare you?
Break. Of course you had. You were obsessed with the show just like the
no,
other
she's
fame
not. She didn't
hungry
see.
Whores. And oh, no, Ralph. No.
Vanessa is the furthest thing from a hungry whore, by the way. Wow, you really are taking her down, Ralph.
I have that. You will not talk about Vanessa that way.
First your wife,
when
and now
heal, Allie. You will learn. When you've healed up, then we'll talk again.
Maybe she would have been watching The Bachelor, Allie, if she weren't trying to save little special needs kids' lives. You ever think about that? That's what she was doing with her time.
Listen, no self-respecting woman or man goes on the show to find love. They go on to
How
then go on to other shows
that?
And then to get famous. That's
Listen,
it.
They go on for love,
uh-huh.
and then they get bitten by the bug of reality television,
right?
And then they do other reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of those people are looking to meet someone.
That's cute.
Well, how is that any different than apps or dating services or any
going
other?
Going to a singles party. You could say, oh, why would you go to a singles party if you're really serious? Because that's where you meet people.
There's many different ways to interact with people, Allie. Make that face at me. I'm going to put you on a reality show called Bag in the Desert. Where you get in a bag,
uh-huh.
and we put you in the desert,
okay.
and then nobody looks for you.
That's it.
That's the game.
Wow. Just spitballing, like there's more to the game, right?
I think that's enough
nope.
for me.
The whole game.
All right.
Do we even put a camera on her, or do we just forget about her?
We tell her there's a camera. Tonight, a new show on NBC you may want to check out. A little programming note, Trial and Error, it's called. Premieres on NBC with John Lithgow.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
What?
Look, I love John Lithgow.
Oh, we could tell by your...
No, he's a great actor. I've seen the promos for this show. It's not for me. It looks bad.
It sounds fun. It's a funny concept.
What's the premise?
He's a murder suspect who's kind of an idiot,
uh-huh.
and he keeps blundering and saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing, and he's innocent, but it makes him look more and more like the guilty party as things go along. He's kind of like a bumbling fool
okay.
who's accused of murder.
And he's Winston Churchill.
And it gets worse. And he's yes,
okay.
he's Winston Churchill accused of murder.
Got it.
No, he's funny. I like when he plays dumb.
Let me know how it is. I mean, that sounds like the premise
I have another
for
contestant
a...
for Bag in the Desert.
Oh no!
Yeah,
that sounds like a premise for a possibly entertaining episode. It doesn't sound like a series.
Well, with all your extensive screenwriting background, I would trust you to be able to peg it from a distance and a log line.
All right. Well, I hope it's good. Believe me, I never want shows to be bad. I'm just saying, you make it a first impression based on the commercials. And
this
the commercials
is the guy
from
the first season
like
of Billions
said, show.
Oh, this show's awful. There's no one you could root for on that show. They're both equally awful, and I hate them. And this, he's like, Oh, Billions is so good.
I said at the time that with Billions was a really good show, but it was hard to be entertained by it because there are so many despicable people on it. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about Big Little Lies. Is it's so hard to find somebody to root for on that show because so many of them are so awful.
With the Big Little Lies.
All right, I'm just gonna shut up.
I love that show so much. What's gonna happen, you guys?
Maren Dungey, speaking of that show, tweeted that she thinks Bean got hurt somehow. Why is he so mean?
Oh,
she tweeted.
Who hurt Bean?
Who hurt Bean, yeah.
She ain't wrong.
She ain't wrong.
And she's
you ain't
a detective.
Nothing yet.
And she'll get to the bottom of it.
She's going to be the host of Bag in the Desert.
I'm
happy to announce. Yes,
oh, well, then I'm excited to be
just signed
a participant.
The deal. She's going to be hosting.
She would be excellent as a host.
She'd be a great host. Today's celebrity birthday is Quincy Jones is 84 years old today. Michael Caine also turns 84. Yeah. Billy Crystal is 69, right? And you look marvelous, Billy. It's better to look good than to feel good, my friend.
You happy with that?
No. Chris Klein's 38 years old today. Jamie Bell's 31. Sasha Gray, 29 years old. Ansel Elgort, not an easy name to say, but he's
Baby
a talented,
driver.
Attractive kid. And he's in that new Baby Driver, the new Edgar Wright film, which looks
watch
amazing.
The trailer. Oh, my God.
You're a little excited for
this
film.
I'm so excited for this movie.
24 hours now you've been talking about it.
I have.
Simone Biles. She was a USA Olympic gymnast, and now she's dancing on the stars. No, dancing with the stars. You have to pay extra to have them dance on you. 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's a pretty good deal, you guys. Listen to K-Rock all this week, every hour on the hour from 9 a.m. just past, all the way up until 9 o'clock tonight for your chance to win tickets to go see Panic at the Disco, sold out March 28th at the Forum. Allie, you remember from, was it the Weenie Rose last year they played the Panic at the Disco? It was so good.
Every time they play, I'm more and more amazed by that.
Yeah, they are phenomenal. A great live act. Thank you to Frank Griffin from Huntington Beach for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You have just won your tickets. You are also now in the grand prize drawing for your own Panic at the Disco home invasion show. The guys come to your house and perform. This is an amazing once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Your next chance to qualify for that and win tickets to the Forum show is coming up 1 hour from LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. By the way, I don't know if he mentioned it, but Muggs is going to need next Thursday off. Did you hear about this, Ralph, next Thursday off?
I did not. What's going on next Thursday?
Del Taco is rolling out their new one-pound breakfast burrito.
Oh, sweet heavens.
They announced this morning. It's actually a little bigger than a pound. It's a 17-ounce Huevos Rancheros epic burrito, and it is available starting Thursday, next Thursday, at Del Taco. It has scrambled eggs, chorizo, cheese, roasted chili salsa, sliced avocado, sour cream, lined with 2 6-inch corn tortillas, 17 ounces of breakfast burrito.
Yummy.
So Muggs can't work and eat, so he decided he has to make a choice. He's decided on eating.
They do great work, and I don't know if they're a sponsor or not, but we love them regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But does any human need over a pound of food at a sitting ever for anything?
Well, they said this morning when they rolled this out that that breakfast is extremely competitive in drive-thru restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I guess anything you can come up with that's going to make your brand stand out on top of, you know, so that they don't go to McDonald's or don't go to Taco Bell or don't go to Jack in the Box, wherever they planned on going for breakfast. I mean, I guess they think there's enough of an audience. They have tested this out at restaurants in the Inland Empire and Palm Springs, and they have decided it is a go. $4.99 for the burrito, available on the 23rd.
But I reiterate, does any human being need 17 ounces of food at one sitting?
I wouldn't think so.
It's it'll fill you up, I would imagine. It'll get you.
I would hope so.
Give you some energy for the day. I mean, if you're one of those
energy
people
for the day, it'll put me in a coma for the day.
I would nap immediately.
I wouldn't wake up until dinner time.
So
then have another pound of food.
This is not a breakfast. This is the most important meal of the day for you, this one-pound burrito?
It is an important meal, but it's just too much meal.
Too much meal. Okay.
By the way, speaking of food, I had one of those Pink's hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They came in here to,
how was that?
To
Charger
get
dog?
The Charger dogs to celebrate the Los Angeles Chargers move to Los Angeles. And I love Pink's so badly, so deeply. I need a nap now.
Yeah.
And that was just one dog.
Yeah. Well, it's a double meat, right?
I just had the single meat.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
still. I'm exhausted.
All filled up.
I'm exhausted from the meat.
Yeah. Well,
right,
well,
so much meat.
Trust me, Ralph.
Yeah.
Preaching to the choir.
Beer Mug took two. Two,
yes,
two
really?
Dogs.
Really?
Yes. Same time?
Yes.
Huh.
He took two meats at the same
wow.
time.
He is the human vacuum bleeder. He really is.
Yeah, human.
All right. Well, you just have to stay awake for one more showbiz beat, and then we're out of here, Ralph.
You know what's going to help me stay awake?
What's that?
Life.
Sure. Yeah, life.
Hey.
No, silly. I'm talking about the movie Life.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'll tell you, Allie. It's crazy here. It's Good Morning Los Angeles. We sound like two of those morning show hosts.
Chuckleheads.
One of those morning shows that you used to work on.
Huh?
Life is the name of a movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, Rebecca Ferguson. Boy, good cast. It's about astronauts who go to Mars, and they say, oh, let's just, oh, look, we got some stuff here. This looks like it could be life on Mars. I bet it's friendly. Wrong!
You are all going to die tonight.
Next thing you know, they're all fighting Mars life. You don't want that. Anyway, this movie looks awesome. If you'd like to go to our K-Rock advanced screening of Life, it's happening at the ArcLight Hollywood on March 22nd. Movie's not in theaters till the 24th, so you'll be one of the first people to see it. If you'd like to go, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with that number will get a pair of passes to K-Rock's advanced screening of Life. Even the poster looks terrifying. It's like a spacesuit with a hand pressed up against it from the inside.
Oh.
Help me! Mars life is eating me.
You don't want any of that if you're up in a tiny little space capsule.
No, it's bad news. You know, this is an aside, but I'm obsessed with Billions. I can't stop talking about Billions. Oh, on Showtime. Great show. Damian Lewis, Paul Giamatti, Maggie Siff. Amazing cast. But they had a storyline in the most recent episode of Maggie Siff's job was to evaluate this potential woman to be the pilot of the first manned spacecraft to Mars.
Why are we calling it manned then?
Because it's just the personed spacecraft to Mars.
Okay.
And to see if she would be able to bear up under the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking about the procedure, what it was like. And I got claustrophobic hearing them talk about the fact that you get into this capsule and then you take off and you leave your planet behind forever. And that's it.
Yeah.
To live in a space capsule for the remainder of your days.
Yeah.
Sounds terrifying.
Why would anyone do that?
Why would anyone do that?
Yeah.
Yet, whenever they offer the opportunity for people to go to Mars, 100,000 people sign up to want to do it.
But you spend the rest of your time there
in
a
capsule.
Tube.
Yes, that's right. I would
can't breathe just thinking about it.
I would do it.
Why would you do that?
We've talked about this before.
I know, but now that you know really what it is, that you think about it, you want to spend your time in a little box? Well, you kind of
yes,
do.
Yes, I do.
That's kind of how you live your life.
I do.
He's really? Like, not sure what you're getting. Not getting. Here.
Look.
It's true. No one really leaves their room more than Bean.
Yeah.
No one doesn't leave their room more than Bean, I guess is what I'm trying to
look,
say.
Look, Ralph.
Doesn't
the only
not other, leave would, their room.
Would not be a big change,
yeah.
I guess.
The only other choice that I have, according to you, is living in the bag in the desert. Yeah. And how different is that than living
well,
in a space capsule on Mars?
Bag.
I didn't say anything about living in the bag in the desert, by the way.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Right? Yeah. Rashida Jones, how much do we love her?
All.
She's being.
She was in the original Office. I'm trying to remember.
She was a different Office, not the. It wasn't the original Office. It was the outside, the second one, the outside Office. Kevin put it best.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second Office, when you were on the outside Office, not the one, main one?
That was a
moment.
Yeah. First of all, R.I.P. Kevin.
Right.
And second
Kevin.
Of all, what's going on with Rashida Jones? Because we do love her.
She's got a new gig. She's joining the cast of Black-ish.
Wow.
Yeah. She's going to guest star on the ABC comedy as Beau's sister in an episode which is set to air later next month. But I'd be happy to see her on that show. You
she's
guys watching the Black-ish, by
very
the way?
Very funny show.
Very funny show. Very smart, too. Really well written and acted. That Anthony Edwards, he's good stuff. Speaking of things to watch, it's just stream of consciousness showbiz beat today. Did you see the new Veep trailer for season 6?
Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
That's what I'm saying.
Can't wait.
I can't wait. You can't wait.
I can't wait more.
I'm the most can't waiting.
I am so busy can't waiting that I could barely do this segment.
All right.
What?
This was a success.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Have we ever had Julia Louis-Dreyfus on for that show? For Veep?
No.
We got to make that happen.
I think we've frequently asked that.
Yeah, I'm gonna make that a mission.
Yeah.
I hope that.
What's
hope
it?
That
April
happens.
That comes back.
End of April. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna put some boots.
You got a lot of friends
ground.
Over there.
I got some boots on the ground.
Yeah.
We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays: our buddy Eddie Ift, comedian extraordinaire,
Eddie Heft was on our April Foolishness lineup, right?
He's on that show. Mm-hmm. He's done it. Yeah, he's great.
Don't forget, by the way, go to AXS.com and buy your tickets for the April Foolishness show. Going to be at the Shrine on April 1st. It's an amazing lineup of comedians. You got Bill Burr. You've got
Adam Ray.
Angela Johnson. Jonah Ray. Angela Johnson. Taylor Williamson.
Jimmy Pardo.
What a great lineup.
David Koechner.
Koechner will be there. He's so good. I'm going to be there. Allie's going to be there. Kevin Abeen will be there. We're gonna have a good time. So get your tickets. Eddie Ift, as I mentioned, is 43 years old today. Quincy Jones is 84.
Rashida Jones' father.
That's right. It all ties in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michael Caine.
Oh, wish he was my daddy.
Is 80.
Too much?
That pink hot dog almost came up. 84 years old today. Billy Crystal, 69. Chris Klein is 38. Jamie Bell turns 31. Sasha Grey's 29. Ansel Elgort, soon to be seen in Baby Driver, 23 years old today. Simone Biles celebrates her 20th birthday. She was a USA gymnast, now is on Dancing with the Stars. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. We've had a couple of very busy shows in a row, and tomorrow we got another one because Greg Fitzsimmons, very funny comedian, who's also...
Oh, he wears a little hat.
He does wear little hats. He has also previously done Kevin Abeen's April Foolishness. He is going to be back for a visit tomorrow. The president of the UFC, Dana White, will be in studio with us on the program tomorrow. We do have more tickets to give away for April Foolishness. We got it's Wednesday. That means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voice is on the program tomorrow. We just announced Kevin Abeen's singles party in Las Vegas for a week from Friday. We got more tickets to that to give away. And I'm curious to see, and what do you guys think about the follow-up? We talked to two listeners, Beatrice and Daniel, last Wednesday, and Beatrice's complaint had been that they had been together and been married for a few years, but had been together for almost 12, and he had yet to cough up an engagement ring.
Mm. Yeah.
So she married him, but did not have the jewelry to go with it.
Mm. Right.
And she just wanted, you know, somebody to kickstart his ass a little bit and make him buy her a ring. So we said, yes, that's a legitimate complaint. Daniel, do the good thing. And we gave him a week to do it. When we have them on the air tomorrow at 8, do you believe that ring will have been bought or do you think he will have figured out a way to get out of it?
I believe he bought it.
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. You could read Daniel pretty well, could you, Ralph?
Yeah. And what's the downside for him? I mean, there's no... What are we going to do to him? We're going to fine him? We're going to hit him with some...
Well, I would hope Beatrice would have a downside for him. You know what I'm saying? Sweet shop's closed.
All right.
Well, we'll see.
Well, we will explore if drastic...
The sweet shop is closed.
You heard me.
If drastic measures are necessary, I guess we can talk about that with Beatrice tomorrow.
Who calls it a sweet shop? Was it the 1800s?
Everyone who's been in it.
You could have said candy
store.
You
know what I'm saying?
What's a sweet shop? Is that where they serve sarsaparilla?
Yes, they do.
Before you get on the stagecoach?
That is all tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin Abeen Show. We'll see you then.